Welcome to Let's Talk Health, a community radio initiative of the Community Health and Social Services Network, CHSSN, funded by the McGill Human Resources Training and Development Project. Our show today is Bone Health with Myra Siminovich, physiotherapist. My name is Kelly Howarth, and I will be your host. So I'll start by introducing Myra. Myra has a BSc in physiotherapy from McGill University. She has over 20 years of experience at St. Mary's Hospital as a staff physiotherapist and administrator and coordinator of rehabilitation services. Myra is presently in private practice specializing in the treatment of incontinence and osteoporosis, and she is a frequent presenter to community groups, seniors, students, and physicians. Myra, welcome. Thanks for being with us here today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Myra, we hear a lot about the importance of bone health and how osteoporosis is affecting significant numbers of the population. Can you tell us a little more about this?
Yes. You know, as a matter of fact, osteoporosis, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 8 men will develop osteoporosis over the age of 50. And it's interesting because the International Society of Osteoporosis, their numbers are 1 in 3 women and 1 in 5 men. So those are rather startling numbers. Presently, 1.4 million Canadians have osteoporosis, and there are about 25,000 hip fractures a year, and that's why we're so concerned, because 70% of those are related to osteoporosis. 1 in 5 result in death. 1 in 3 of these people with a hip fracture become institutionalized. 35% of these fractures are sustained by men. So we're talking about the difficulties that arise from osteoporosis, how there is a spiraling decline in one's quality of life, and this is a condition that can be prevented.
And you say that 50% of survivors will experience a disability.
Yes.
So it affects significant numbers of the adult population then. So tell us, why is it a serious and a complicated disease, Myra?
Well, osteoporosis literally means porous bone. So it's a disease where the bone becomes so fragile that it's easily broken. And, you know, people think of it as a disease that afflicts only old women, because we think of this old bent-over woman with a hump on her back, but it's not so. Osteoporosis affects, it has many faces. It includes men, young women, the young and the old. Every one of us is at risk for osteoporosis. However, women are definitely more at a risk than men.
Okay. So it's called the silent thief. What do you mean by that?
The problem with osteoporosis is that there are no symptoms that are associated with the condition until there is actually enough deterioration to sustain a fracture. So we lose bone for years and we don't even realize it until all of a sudden we fall, and it's not even a serious fall, and we sustain a fracture. So it progresses silently. There are no symptoms. And at least if we had symptoms, we could address it, but we go along like this, not realizing that the bone is slowly deteriorating and we're not doing anything about it.
So it strikes without warning, and then it's already advanced, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Who gets osteoporosis?
So as I was saying, it's 1 in 4 women over the age of 50 and 1 in 8 men over the age of 50. And, you know, men up until recently have really been neglected when it comes to osteoporosis, because we so think of it as a woman's disease. But men as well as women can get osteoporosis. And with them, it's very, whereas women, it's more often associated with the changes that occur with menopause. With men, often, it's more likely to develop secondary to lifestyle or another medical condition if they've been using steroid type of treatments like prednisone, if they've had low peak bone density, if they have a problem with the male hormone. These are all things that can contribute, as well as lifestyle with lack of exercise, too high alcohol consumption, or smoking.
Mm. So the loss of bone density and structural weakness then can lead to bones that break under the slightest strain, right? Tell us a little more about this.
Well, as I was saying, with osteoporosis, it's porous bone. So the bones become so fragile that you don't even have to fall in order to sustain a fracture. For example, you can just bend a certain way, lifting a baby out of a crib. Somebody can hug you. You can even close a window with too much force, and you can sustain a fracture of the vertebra. The most common sites are the hip, the wrist, and the spine. And as I was saying earlier, the most devastating is really the hip. And just because of the statistics I told you, where 1 in 5 will die, 1 in 3 will be institutionalized.
And the 50% of disability.
Right.
Yeah. So that's quite significant.
Right.
You talk about bone remodeling, bone growth and development. Why are these important to consider in osteoporosis?
You know, most people think that bone is hard and lifeless. But in reality, bone is a living, growing tissue that is constantly being broken down and rebuilt in a process called remodeling. So there are special bone removing cells, the osteoclasts, which remove old bone and create sort of a cavity. I always think of the potholes in our roads today. And then there's the special bone building cells, the osteoblasts, that fill in the cavity with new bone that uses calcium and other minerals to harden the bone. And this is an ongoing process. It goes, it's continually going on. However, the problem is when the bone is removed and it is not replaced quickly enough, then we get into the problem with having bone that is, that there really are like holes in the bone, and that's why it's called the osteoporosis, the porous bone. It's not being built as quickly as it's being removed.
So you mentioned the aspect of the bone as a bank account where you deposit and withdraw bone tissue. Tell us more about that.
Well, it really is like a bank account. When early in life, we're depositing a lot more bone than we're withdrawing. And that's why when I say it's a preventable disease, if we put enough bone into the bank while we're still young, that increases our chances of not having osteoporosis and having stronger bones. When we're about, it evens out, when we're about 20 to 30 years old, there is an equal amount of bone being deposited and an equal amount of bone being withdrawn. That's when we have our peak bone density. And then after that, as we get older, and this happens to everybody, we begin to lose bone at a rate of 0.5% to 1%. So that's when we're taking out bone from this account on a regular basis. However, with menopause, women can lose 2 to 5% of the bone. They can be taking that out of their bones for about 10 years. So when you think about like losing 50% of your bone, I mean, that really is disastrous. Men lose bone more slowly and at a higher rate after 65. But the point is that where it is normal to lose a little bit of bone, but if we don't do anything to prevent it, we're going to be left with bones that are very porous and weak.
So what are the factors that contribute to bone health then?
Nutrition, physical activity, genetics, and hormones. So, you know, these are the things that contribute to bone health.
Okay, so there are many risk factors. Some you cannot change and others you can change. Tell us a bit about these.
Okay, so first of all, the things that we cannot change are, number one, is our genetics. If you have a history, if your mother or anybody in the family has a history of osteoporosis, you are at a higher risk. Gender, we can't change whether we're male or female, and females are at a higher risk. And there are certain races that are more susceptible to osteoporosis than others, Caucasian, for example. So these are the things that we cannot change.
Okay, so let's look at some of the other ones, like being female, age 50 or older.
Okay. So, first of all, as you said, female. If you're female, if you are over 50 years, 50 or over, you are at a higher risk. If you have, during certain years, there have been hormonal imbalances, for example, with anorexia, or there have been other conditions, that will put you at a higher risk. Anybody who's postmenopausal, anybody who's had a hysterectomy, who's had a surgical menopause, because that has upset the hormone balance, is at a higher risk. Not enough calcium in our diets, and I mean, these are things we can change. Limited exposure to sunlight. You know, now everybody's so concerned about skin cancer that we're always putting sunblock on, and in any case, we don't absorb the sun enough through our skin as we get older. If we're small-boned, if we don't do enough physical activity, sedentary lifestyle, Caucasian, Asian ancestry, you know, if we smoke, caffeine, alcohol, this disrupts the absorption of calcium from the body. As I said, a family history, and certain kinds of medications, sometimes there are other conditions we have, for example, rheumatoid arthritis, and we have to take certain kinds of medications, and some of these medications can predispose us to osteoporosis, but the physicians are often aware of it and will do something to counteract that. And then other metabolic conditions like hyperparathyroidism, hyperthyroidism, these all can lead to problems with the absorption of calcium.
Okay, so the more risk factors you have, the greater the risk of developing osteoporosis.
Yes.
Myra, tell us about the risk factors that you cannot change.
Okay, we can't change our gender. We can't change our age, genetics, and our ethnic background. Those are things that we have, and there's nothing we can do about that, but we can help it by our lifestyle.
So we can take an active role in our lifestyle, and that is a factor that we can change. So tell us more about this.
The most important thing, nutrition, smoking, physical activity. Nutrition, you know, when we were talking about that bone bank with depositing calcium, calcium is crucial to maintain life. Every cell in the body requires calcium to function. So the body carefully regulates calcium so it's available whenever and wherever we need it. If there's not enough bone calcium circulating in the blood, what's going to happen is that the calcium is going to be withdrawn from the bone. So we have to have enough calcium every day in order not to take the stores of calcium out of our bones. So, for example, you can see up to 9 years of age, you need about 700 milligrams. Before 50, usually it's anywhere from 1,200 to 1,000. But after 50, they're saying 1,000 to 1,500 milligrams of calcium. And unfortunately, our diets are so that we often don't get enough calcium in our diet, and then the best thing to do is to supplement it with calcium tablets. So, for example, we know that calcium, the most prevalent source of calcium is in milk products, yogurt, cheese, they are the best. It's true that there is calcium in things like broccoli, kale, but there's such a small amount, you would never be able to eat enough broccoli to get the quantity of 1,000 to 1,500 milligrams that we require daily.
Okay, so calcium is important, and now you're suggesting supplements then because we're just not getting it in our food.
Yes. It naturally, if you can take it in the food, It's definitely good. It's good to be able to have some in the food. If you cannot get enough, then supplement it with some form of supplementary calcium. And there are different kinds of calcium supplements. The two big kinds are calcium carbonate and calcium citrate. Some people say there's not much difference in them, but for example, calcium carbonate has to be taken on a full stomach or it's not absorbed, whereas calcium citrate can be taken at any time. I have heard that calcium citrate is more easily absorbed. It is more expensive, and it does come in smaller amounts of calcium. But I think the thing that we really have to be careful about is how much calcium we're having at any one time. More than 500 milligrams, it's not advisable to take more than 500 milligrams of calcium at any one time because it's not going to be absorbed. And for example, in a glass of milk, you have about 300 milligrams of calcium. So ideally, of course, if you had a quart of milk a day, you'd be just fine, but not everybody's going to drink that much milk. But when you think about yogurts and the variety of things like that, you can make up for most of it through the diet and then just add the supplement.
Okay. So just one last note before we end here. Tell us about the importance of exercise.
Well, I'm not the only one, and I mean everything. We're hearing more and more about the importance of exercise, but the bones in particular are very much affected by stress. So, for example, if we don't stress the bones, the muscles and the bones, then they're not going to be stronger. So walking is a weight. When we think about exercises, we need weight-bearing exercises, running, dancing, skating, anything where you actually, the body there's a transfer of body weight to the bones over and over again. Strength training. It's not enough to just walk. We have upper bodies too that have bones, and we've got spines. And weight training is extremely important. It challenges the bone. You want to challenge the muscles. The muscles pull on the bone. They stress the bone so that the bone will produce more bone. There are a variety of things that can be used. For example, you can use a tubing, you can use weights. But the important thing to remember when we're talking about exercise is that either it has to be a weight-bearing exercise where you're on your feet or you're doing push-ups on your hands, or you've got to use something for resistance, whether it's an exercise band, whether it's dumbbells, whether it's tubing, whether it's any of the machines at the gym. But this is what's really going to strengthen your muscles. As your muscles get stressed, they'll pull on the bone and more bone will be formed.
Great. Myra, you've given our listeners some very valuable information here. What resources might be helpful that are available on the web or in print? There's, I think, the Osteoporosis Society of Canada.
Yes.
That's one that our listeners might refer to. We have the website here. It's www.osteoporosis.ca.
Yes.
Myra, thank you for talking to us today about bone health and why it's so important to take care of our bones, especially about taking calcium. We hope that you, our listeners, have learned more about this important topic. I'm Kelly Howarth, your host for Let's Talk Health. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day.